Morning. Excuse me, I just got over a sickness, but Philippians 3, 12 through 16 is today's scripture reading. Starting verse 12, it says that, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which for Christ, or that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize and the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we all have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind.
Happy New Year, everybody. This is the first Lord's Day in 2026, the first day of the week in 2026. It is a blessing and a joy to be able to assemble with other Christians to worship and praise God. It really is. Great to see you today. Open your Bibles to Philippians if you haven't already, because what we're going to talk about in our time together is this. We're going to deal with how to make 2026, how to make this year a great year for you spiritually. How to make 2026 a great year for you spiritually. It seems to me that any book that deals with the fact that real joy comes by having the mind of Jesus through the gospel, like Philippians talks about, is a book that can help us to have a great year spiritually in 2026. Real joy really does come by having the mind of Jesus, the attitude of Jesus, through the good news of the gospel. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 3, and then we'll focus especially on verses 12 through 16. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Most of you are aware that Paul was in prison just because he was a Christian when he wrote the book of Philippians. And rather than being down in the dumps and discouraged, even though the circumstances were far from ideal, this book just resonates with joy. It resonates with Jesus. It resonates with a sense of optimism that's based on Jesus and what He has done for us at the cross. Now, when you look at Philippians 3, there are three pictures that He gives us that are worth thinking about. In verses 1 through 11, the picture is that of an accountant. An accountant. And you'll see, especially in verses 7 through 9, the word count or reckon if you're reading from an older translation. It's a matter of gains and losses with accountants, isn't it? Paul thinks about his past. And basically, he thinks about everything in his past before he came to know Jesus and the gospel. It really doesn't matter that much at all. And there's an emphasis on knowing, gaining, and being found in Christ in Philippians 3, 1 through 11. You see it? Paul the accountant. When you think about our past, before we come to know Jesus and be saved by His grace and love, all the things that we thought really mattered don't seem to be so important now, do they? They pale in comparison to Jesus and the blessings in Him. Now look at verses 12 through 16. The picture changes from the accountant to the athlete. It's one of Paul's favorite things to talk about spiritually. And he loves to liken Christianity, living for Jesus, as a race or as a struggle, as an athletic endeavor. I press on. I press on. You'll see that repeated a couple of times in Philippians 3, 12 through 16. And he's dealing with his present. He goes from the past and things that many people would have prized and valued. And he said, you know, those things really don't matter so much to me anymore. Not at all. And then he deals with his present tense. What I want to do is press on in my relationship with Jesus, culminating, ending in being with Him forever in glory. That brings me to verses 17 through 21. And Paul is an alien here, from an accountant to an athlete to an alien. What do you mean by that? When you look at verses 17 through 21, Paul is saying, I'm here on earth. Yes, I'm a human being, but I'm a citizen of an eternal place with an eternal king where I will be eternally. Our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3 and verse 20. And really what we think about here is this. If we will have the joy of Jesus in the gospel that's available, it takes care of our past, it blesses our present, it assures our future. How to make 2026 a great year spiritually. Look at verses 12 through 16. Five principles from Paul's present to make this present year a great year for you spiritually. Five principles. Here's the first one. Principle number one. Acknowledge or confess. Acknowledge or confess. Look at Philippians 3, 12 and 13. And Paul begins with a disclaimer. Not that I have attained. Not that I have already achieved. Not that I am already perfect. Next verse, not that I have laid hold. So three different times there is this disclaimer. There's this acknowledgement. There's this true confession. And the idea is, I am not all that I want to be. I'm not all that I ought to be as a Christian. Now, part of me, when he says that, is floored. Because we are talking about a man that God used to write a third of the New Testament and called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And surely when we think about Paul reading what Scripture has to say about him, he is a giant spiritually. He may be about as close to Jesus as anybody. And yet there's a sense of holy discontent. I hope you'll remember that expression, holy discontent. You know, in Philippians 4 and verse 11, Paul would write, I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. That was true. He was content with his circumstances, and he was content with what Jesus was in his life. But he wasn't content with where he was spiritually. He wasn't willing to rest on his laurels. He wasn't willing to coast. He wasn't saying, I have arrived. This is about as good as I'm going to get. And what I really want you to see is when you read the first 11 verses, because Jesus means so much to him, his self-estimate becomes even clearer. When the Lord means a great deal to us, when we really treasure him, our self-estimate becomes a lot clearer. As good a man as Paul was, he was really little compared to Jesus as Lord, wasn't he? Take a moment and turn in your Bibles to the 19th Psalm, Psalm chapter 19. Look at verses 12, 13, and 14 with me briefly before we move on. Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14. The psalmist cries out, "To keep me from hidden sins, from secret sins you may have in your translation of God's word, from presumptuous sins, and then keep me from sins of the lip and of my heart and attitude, the words of my mouth, the thoughts, the meditations of my heart." None of us are close enough to Jesus in areas like these. Not that I have attained, not that I'm made perfect. Really, what he's wanting to do, more than anything, I want to know Jesus and experience him more. Philippians 3:10. Really, what I want more than anything, verse 11, is to attain the resurrection that comes with being faithful to Jesus so I can be in his presence forever. That's what he wants. And he knows that there's, while he lives, it's not something that he's going to attain. But that's not going to stop him. That's not going to stop him from drawing closer to Jesus while he lives. Look at the next principle. Principle number two. You'll see this in verse 12 as well. I press on. I press on. He confesses and he acknowledges something. Let me ask you, do you share Paul's self-estimate? Is that your self-estimate too? If it is, then like Paul, we ought to be motivated to treasure him because we want to be with him, and that will show more in our lives. Resolve, verse 12. I press on. Another way of putting I press on, I'm making every effort. God, I'm trusting you and I'm trying to be more like Jesus. The idea of keep on keeping on, like we've often heard said. I press on. I'm going to keep on keeping on. He says, I have not laid hold of that upon which I was laid hold of by Jesus. He showed amazing love and amazing grace in coming here and saving me. And I need to reflect his love as I reach out to others with the salvation he's come to give. Until the time comes, I go be with him. I press on. When I think of this, do you share his determination? I press on. And the idea is, I don't know what Thomas is going to do. I don't know what Carl's going to do. I don't know what Ryder might do. And I hope that they do this. But whether they do or not, I press on. That's determination. This resolve, this determination, do you share it? If you want 2026 to be a great year spiritually, may we all imbibe more of the Spirit. May we take it in. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, the verse begins in most translations with the word brethren or love our brothers and sisters. Brethren or brothers and sisters. The principle I'd like for you to remember is relationship. Relationships. Paul is talking to a church that is about 700 plus miles away from where he is. A church that he loves greatly. This is true. He says, not only am I present, but I want it to be true of your present too. Think about this principle. The importance of relationships. Brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. The affection, the love, the togetherness, the oneness of us as the family of God, the body of Christ. He stresses that. Though he is far from them in terms of distance, he is really near to them in his heart and caring for them. And the same thing ought to be true for us. There is a preciousness and a value that we attach to the church, to the people of God. There ought to be a great love for the local church. Y'all hear me? Not only are we part of the body of Christ universally, we are an expression of God's people here in Midland, Texas. You really want 2026 to make a difference in your life spiritually? Be around people that have a similar view of Jesus, a similar view of Scripture, a similar view of salvation, and be encouraged by God's family and encourage others in that family. There's no way to stress this enough. People need the encouragement of others to continue to grow and develop, and that is especially true spiritually. We have things in common and a mutual concern, a care. Let me ask you this question as we close this point out. Do I share Paul's affection for the church? I'm convinced that there are some people who are Christians that really don't have a great love for the local church. I didn't say that they could be right with God with that type of spirit and attitude. But I am saying that they exist. And sometimes, maybe because the church consists of people, maybe they've been hurt or offended by someone else. Every family will have fusses and fights sometimes. But we are God's spiritual family, and we ought to make a great effort to love one another and encourage each other. Paul believed that. I believe we should too if we want to grow spiritually this year and every year. Look at verses 13 and 14. The principle is pursuit. Pursuit. This one thing I do. This one thing I do. This is a passionate pursuit. Everything needs to be examined, viewed on this centerpiece. This is the sun upon which all the planets go around in our lives. Too many people compartmentalize their Christianity in their lives. But Paul looked at his relationship with God and everything revolved around it. This one thing I do. Jesus told the rich young ruler in Mark 10 and verse 21, one thing you lack. One thing you're missing. I've listened to how you've responded, but one thing you lack. One thing's missing. I want you to know there's times that one thing is everything. In Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, Jesus told Martha, who he loved dearly, one thing is needful. One thing is necessary. She's worried. She's suffering from anxiety. And Jesus says, one thing is needful. Again, a blind man who was given sight by Jesus would say, after being healed, one thing I know. I was blind. Now I see. You see, friends, there's times in the Bible when one thing is really everything when you stop and think about it. From blindness to sight, from anxiety to peace, from thinking that we were right with God when we were wrong, to really being right with God. And then Psalm 27, verse 4. When the psalmist says, one thing have I desired, to behold, to see your beauty. God, you're so beautiful and awesome and great. One thing I desire, and it's to see you and be in your presence forever. One thing I do. Many of us dabble in a lot of things, including Christianity. Not Paul. Everything revolved around his relationship with his God. Shouldn't our lives too? Shouldn't they? Number five, before I leave that, let me just bring this out because it's so important. He talks about forgetting the past. Do you see that in verse 14, 13 and 14? Forgetting the past. Some Christians cannot passionately pursue God now because the past and the regrets and the circumstances they can't get over. Forgetting the past. If anybody needed to forget some of his past, it was Paul. He persecuted Christians, didn't he? He imprisoned them. He was instrumental in Stephen being stoned to death. Rocks were thrown at him till he died. In one sense, Paul didn't forget that. But he knew that he had to move on, didn't he? Forgetting the past. Maybe that's one of the things you need to do, to passionately pursue the Lord now. And then he says, straining in the present. Pressing in the present. Pressing on. There's that athletic terminology again. You can see an athlete pressing, straining to get to the finish line. The muscles, the fiber, all of the effort that's going into it. You ever stop to think about this? Even if a person is a great athlete, they're not great in everything. They need to specialize some way. I realize that there are decathletes, there are marathon runners, there are people that do swimming and running and cycling and things like that. But no one seems to be able to do all athletic endeavors well. This one thing I do. Think about that. You know, it's really news when a guy can play two sports professionally. This one thing I do. My relationship with God is what is the centerpiece of what my life revolves around. That way things come together. And then it says, I press on to what is ahead, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 14. Last principle, principle number 5. Counsel. Counsel. When you look at verses 13 and 14 in this passionate pursuit, is this my consuming ambition? Is my consuming ambition to have a great relationship with God, or is it to make a lot of money? Is my consuming ambition to have a great relationship with God, or is it to be well known and well liked? Is my consuming ambition to have a great relationship with God, or to have a lot of stuff? Our consuming ambition ought to be to have a great relationship with God. That'll make 2026 a great year for you, really, if that's your desire. Now notice verses 15 and 16. Let us therefore, there's a conclusion. Listen to my counsel, he says. You really want to be helped in your life? Have this attitude, mark it. Have this mindset. And if any has a different attitude, in time you'll see how important what I'm saying is. Then he ends by saying, keep living by the standard, the rule that we have in Christ. Here's the question. Are we listening to Paul's counsel? I don't know if I'll be around to do this. May pass from this life, you know, something like that. But at the end of this year, if we see the end of this year, if I were to preach the same lesson again, would you feel ashamed? Or would you feel glad that you had listened this very moment to what God says through an inspired apostle in His Word about how to make a year a great year spiritually? No regrets. No regrets. Let's pray. Father, your word has spoken through your servant Paul, inspired of the Spirit. Help us to have a proper self-estimate of our hearts. Help us to be humble when we would become proud. Help us to be drawn to your love and mercy and grace when we're too hard on ourselves. Help us to resolve to make every effort to press on, to keep trusting you and desiring to draw near to you. Help us to remember the value of the church and relationships in helping us in our relationship with you. Throughout this year, there will be so many temptations to pursue someone or something other than you. Please forgive us. May we be able to say one thing we do, and that all of our life revolves around you, God. Help us to be willing to listen to others who are trying to encourage and help us along the way. Help us to have the attitude that Paul shows here, an attitude of humility and sacrifice out of love and service to you. Thank you, God, for hearing us. In Christ's name, amen. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement. Perhaps there's someone here as a Christian that wants the prayers of this church in order to be what you want to be in 2026. What a joy and privilege it is to be able to pray for each other. Maybe there's somebody that wants to begin this year by becoming a Christian. Through faith and repentance and baptism, one responds to what Jesus has done at the cross, and His blood cleanses us of our sins. Through faith, repentance, and baptism, we trust in the grace and mercy and love of Jesus. If you'd like to study these things more, we'd be so happy to visit with you. This year can be a great year for you spiritually. I don't know what the year may hold for you as far as your physical health or your financial status, but I know that your soul can never be better than it can be with God this year. Let's stand and sing.